Welcome to Living Queer, where we explore what it means to be queer in today's world. Running is often framed as an individual pursuit, headphones in, miles logged, personal best chased. But for many queer people, movement has always been collective. It's about safety, visibility, healing, and sometimes simply taking up space together. I'm your host, Erwin De Leon, and today we're joined by Carly Turkel and Jesse Wang, co-founders of Queer Feet NYC, an inclusive running club in New York City for LGBTQ plus individuals and allies. Carly and Jesse, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, excited to be here.
Well, thank you. So let's start. Obvious, how did Queer Feet come about?
I could kick things off. It actually, funny enough, started because Jesse and I went on a date. And eventually we decided, we were like, we're going to be great friends. And it blossomed into a beautiful friendship. And then it also came to be that Jesse was running the New York City Marathon. I had just run it the year prior. And we have a lot of other queer friends who are also runners. And so we started running together. And in due time, people were like, are you guys a run club? What's going on here? We heard that there was some interest. So it kind of blossomed into what it is today over time, but definitely kind of started with just queer friendship, which is kind of the best.
I think too, like the way that the idea came to life is like kind of pretty representative, I think, of our organization as a whole, which is me and Carly met. We shared a lot of, I think, common ground, common interests. We cared, you know, about moving our bodies and wellness. And we looked at each other and we were like, you identify as queer, I identify as queer. We both like to run. Like, let's just run together and see. And I think it was like our second or maybe third hangout, like we decided to go on a run together. And I feel like even through that hangout, I feel like we got to know each other really well. And I think, luckily we've had a couple of friends who decided that they also wanted to get up in the early days of like 7 a.m. to come run with us. And 4 became 6, 6 became 12. And it kind of has just grown over time to what it is today.
So it was organic, right? Because I wonder, because there are a lot of other queer run clubs in New York, right? So it wasn't as if there was a specific need. It just grew because friends invited friends invited friends. And before you know it, here you go.
Yeah, I almost feel like there probably is a need. I think there, you know, I think the more the merrier, given I think the sort of desire for community. But I think what's been cool is I think the I think sort of the energy and warmth that we try to create and have has brought in, I think, yeah, to your point, like I think natural sort of traffic.
Carly, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I agree with what Jesse said. And I think at the end of the day, Queer Feet is a run club, but I think we think of it more as like a common ground space for like-minded individuals and people who find their friends in a city that has so much to offer. There's obviously like this little thing of like, oh, there's so many places I could go, there's so many things I can do, but like, which one do I start with? And I think for some people, finding a space like Queer Feet that's just like, come as you are, you don't need to be sprinting, you don't need to be running ultra marathons and marathons, you can just move with us. And I think that's really what keeps people coming back and keeps and kind of brought people towards us to begin with.
I have also an anecdote that like always sticks out to me. And Carly, I don't know if you remember this, but like there was one run that we were in Washington Square Park. Actually, yes, we were together. Washington Square Park, and we had taken a break to take a group photo together, and we asked a stranger to take a photo. And they kind of were like, oh, you know, like a little bit of an eye roll, like another run club, but like, sure, we'll take your photo. As we were departing, I think somebody just shared the name of our club, and it was Queer Feet. And the person who took our photo, like his, like their ears perked up, and they were like, what is the name of your run club? And we were like, it's Queer Feet. And it was like, you could see the switch from like suspicion to like joy and excitement. And I feel like that has always stuck out to me as a moment where that is, I think that just embodies like what we want to create and continue creating, which is come as you are, you know, bring yourself. This is supposed to be like a very like safe and warm place. And I just always remember that because you know, everyone talks about how many run clubs there are, and it can be definitely sometimes intimidating, but we you know, really try to not make it that.
So did this person join the club? The one that
They might have followed us on social media,
took
maybe, but I don't know if maybe I don't really
think
know.
we've seen them since, but I think I prefer that, or not prefer, but I like to think that we left a good enough impression that maybe they told some of their friends that run. They were like, "Oh, not another run club because I don't run, but oh, a queer space. That's great."
And I think that's really one thing. Clearly, there's a fitness movement aspect to it, but am I correct in thinking it's really a queer space that draws people in, correct?
Totally.
So, Carly or Jesse, was aside from that gentleman, or I'm sorry, I'm assuming it is a person, a man. I don't know why. Apologies.
I think it was, but
It
you know.
was. But fascinating how the mind works, right? So
It
now I have to reflect on this and think, why didn't they think it had to be
is.
a cisgender male? But anyway, so what surprised you most in the early days? The turnout, the way it organically happened, the diversity?
I think all of the above. I would say that for me, it was always the turnout. We would joke. I was like, "I'll lead the run, you get the back." And then Jesse and I would be like, "But what if no one shows up? Then we're just going to be running in a line, just the two of us." And that's every time I get to a run first, and then I see Jesse coming, and then all of a sudden people kind of start coming in from different places. We usually meet in Union Square, so it's like there's always people kind of walking by, and I'm like, are they with us? Or do we are like, and then people start stopping in front of us, and they're like, oh, is this Queer Feet? And every time I'm like, this is just the coolest thing, and it's such an honor to be a part of.
So that's the logistics. So I
Yeah.
know you have posted a lot where to meet, what time, and then people just come. You don't have a t-shirt or a magic logo or anything like that.
It's just an
A
aura thing. It's just
secret sign, no secret symbol.
Nope.
Oh, that's
We
great.
just
So
yell Queer Feet and see who comes our way.
that is amazing. And since, so you always have a crowd. Has there ever been where it's just the two of you since?
I really
We've
don't.
had not runs where both of us were there, but it was like a couple of people, like when we were first starting out, like maybe two or three people running, but even then it's like I was r leading that run and I didn't know those people very well. And it was just a really great opportunity to get to know different people that maybe, and they've been back with Run Club since, and kind of we know them better now, but it's just cool. It was cool to see that I was like, oh, this is a new person that is joining Queer Feet and is taking a chance on us. And so I am absolutely going to take a chance on them and get to know them.
That's amazing. And how long has Queer Feet been around?
A year and a half, is it, Carly? Wow,
Yeah.
it feels like so much longer, but also that it just started yesterday. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So
Yeah,
you
we had
don't.
a first birthday party this past summer.
Okay. So you mentioned it's welcome to anybody, but do you like have an official membership, or it's just whoever, signs up, follows you on TikTok or Instagram and you're in?
Pretty much, yeah. We haven't kind of defined the like a quote unquote membership, but maybe soon. Who knows? I mean, there's lots of fun plans and ideas that people have. I think a lot of run clubs do things differently, given that there are so many opportunities to bring people in, but also like so only so much space sometimes. So, like, d given the different types of events and things, like that's definitely something that we've thought about, but not at the moment. It's just come one, come all, and as long as you're like ideally with a smile on your face.
Oh, that's wonderful. And what is the demographic? And actually, second question tied to that is, what do y'all talk about? Or, because it doesn't sound like it's a serious running club. We're like, no, we're here to train. How do you know? It seems like part of it is also hanging out, right?
Totally. Yeah, I would say that our demographic, I think it really spans, but if you know, I had to say an average, maybe early 20s to mid to late 30s, I think it really spans. That's a good question about what we talk about on runs. It's kind of funny. I feel like when you're on a run, you don't even know how to and almost plan for what you're talking about, but I think a lot of it is, talking about how long you've been in New York and your experience, or like your hometown and what brought you to New York, or how you got into running. And I think even though those are like, two broad areas, I feel like you can go down a lot of different paths, and then I think that's where you find other common interests together, whether it's music or other sort of like hobbies and such. And I feel like too, you're able to cover some of those like beginning topics, and then if you are speaking with them another time, you can kind of like continue on with that relationship.
Carly, anything to add?
Yeah. I think one of the things that I am always curious is like, where in the city are you? Like, are you in Brooklyn? Are you in Queens? Are you in like different parts of the city? Like, I live in Manhattan, so I'm always like, oh, like maybe some, like, there's always somebody with a recommendation for something or somewhere. Like, we can't all go to every single restaurant. And like, I'm personally a foodie. So I'm like, if I say, hey, this is where I live, someone's like, oh, have you been here? And I'm like, oh, no, tell me more. Need to know more. Or like, just that's kind of a conversation that I usually end up having with some people. Or, and then to Jesse's point about kind of when I see them the following Saturday, I get to say, hey, I tried that place, loved it. Next recommendation, we're going together, like that type of thing.
Well, what I like listening to your answer, but it seems like even just the identity of being queer, whatever it is, however one is really not even the major thing. Yes, it
Totally.
brought you all together, but then you talk about regular stuff like everybody else.
Yeah, 100%. And I think even if people show up, I've had friends of mine who are allies of the community, and they show up and they're like, I don't want to infringe on your space or this or that. And they're very cognizant of that, while also they're like, wait, no one's asking for like an ID card or anything. Like, no one's saying like,
Your
hey, who
gay
are you and
ID.
how do you identify?
Don't tell them we have a secret ID.
Yes, yeah, no, it's like, I tried to explain the handshake and he rejected it.
So no,
But
what are your pronouns? No name tags, none
yeah,
of
I
that.
mean, people, I think, are generally just, it's to, like we've said, like, come as you are. And it's a very open space where if things kind of differ for one person or another, whether it's their pronouns or things or like their sexual identity, anything of the sort, like, I hope that people feel empowered to just kind of come forward with any of that and like feel proud. And I think we've been lucky enough to have that space for people.
I also want to give a shout out to the people who need a little bit of silence and don't want to talk. That I feel like that's also like a thing that is, I've done that where maybe I've, had a long day and I kind of just want to listen and or like take in the sights. And I think even if, somebody or myself doesn't want to yap too much, it's still so nice, I think, being around other lovely, people in the community and kind of like be able to move our bodies in a flock, even if we're, wanting to be a little bit more quiet that day.
Yeah. And to that point, we usually on Saturdays, we often run the Williamsburg Bridge, which is a pretty decent hill. And so it gets pretty quiet on there. So that gives everyone a nice reprieve to like really lock in because it's so hard sometimes and everyone's trying to just catch their
It's
breath.
so funny. Everyone like sometimes will give a heads up, or at least I do. I'm like, just so you know, for the next like 5 minutes, it's not that I don't want to talk. Like I need a
I
second.
cannot.
Yeah. And then once we're off the bridge, let's get back to it.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's really welcoming space in so many ways, including just personality, right? Like if
Yeah.
you're an introvert, an extrovert, or what have you. And for me, speaking now as a representative of the Gen X folks, what I really like, it sounds like there's no divisions or, between the L, the G, the B, the T. It's a non-issue. And do you think that's also partly because of your generation, Gen Zs and millennials?
Yeah, I wonder, like, Jesse, if you have any like specific thoughts on that. I think it's all maybe less generational and more just, I mean, I think we're now so far kind of as far as we can be along this journey to like kind of equality and whatnot. But I think one of the things is just it never, like, it's called queer feet, but queer can also be happy. Queer can also be so many things. And like, that's like, it happens to be like a core value of the organization, but it's not the only thing. And so that's kind of why it's like almost like not even talked about, because it's like, okay, and we just want to be people and be happy and run together.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think too, like, yeah, maybe less specifically a generational thing, but I think that we, you know, there's even like sort of like interests and things that exist today of different like films and different like happenings of the world. And I think all being sort of like in tune with that and being able to have a space to potentially like talk about that, I think has, yeah, allowed sort of everybody to feel comfortable.
Yeah, and that's one thing I've been thinking about since I was introduced to Queer Feet by person we both know, and just the understanding of queerness as beyond you know, gender identity or sexual identity and gender orientation, where queerness now seems to be larger, right? It's a broader tent. And
Yeah.
correct, like it's beyond just no, that we don't have to be necessarily this way or that way or dress this way or look that way. Just
Yeah, I completely identify in with that statement.
Yeah, I ask that because, you know, I can just think of a few folks of my generation or older who would probably bristle, maybe at the idea, right? Because we've partly the identity of it being so tied to gender, right?
Yeah.
And to sex. So, any thoughts on that as younger individuals?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think when I was coming out, I felt that that was actually a concern for me, because I was like, I want to just be a part of a community that's like very open and kind and loving and welcoming. And I was concerned that, because I don't necessarily like my image from the outside, it was like just like being outside the club and not understanding what's going on inside. It's like I was previously identified as straight, and then I was all of a sudden like I was learning more about myself, and I just, it wasn't all of a sudden, but it, I think now I was like, okay, this is a part of my identity I would like to explore. And as I started doing that, I definitely had some concern for myself to just like, how am I going to find people that are like myself, and how am I going to cultivate community for myself in a way when my perception is skewed? Because I don't, one, like I just don't know what I don't know. And then two, it's like what we see kind of like around and like historically, to your point, like about older generations would be kind of bristling to this kind of openness. Or historically, that's kind of been the case. That was like, oh wow, I was like, I want to be a part of this queer community, but like, it doesn't exist in the way that I hope. And I think that's something that I would say is a generational, like, it's just with time, I think that's become part of like the LGBTQ plus community. But I think also, I think I've met people who are older and who have been out a very long time, and I think they've kind of come around to those ideas as well. So I think, I mean, we're all so capable of so much growth, and it's so amazing. But it also, at the same time, I totally understand where you're coming from, because even not knowing that much, I felt that.
Jesse, you I know
Yeah.
your brain's been
My brain's
I can
spinning.
see it in your face.
Yeah, my thinking face. No, I think I just like a lot of things, you know, came up for me, I think, as Carly spoke. And I think one part of that is like when I had met Carly and we started the club, I actually also had recently come out. And I think at that point in time, I think to your point, it was really driven around my sexuality. And I was like hyper aware of my sexuality. And I feel like it's because likely, you know, over a long span of time, I was suppressing it. I didn't have the space. I didn't have the people to be able to talk about those things with. And I think what's been cool, and to your sort of like question and point, is I think over the past almost 2 years, I feel like I don't have to like prove my queer identity in a way. Like, I feel like it's just like a part of me, but I also have a lot of other sections of my identity. And I think the queer part is feels at home, and I don't have to like, cheerlead for that necessarily all the time in the space that we're in, and I get to actually explore like other parts of my either identity as a whole or like related to my queer identity, whether it's like cultural background, growing up, what that was like, parental relationships, relationships with my friends. And so I think it's, I think that's kind of my personal journey with it. And I think it is a good point of reflection of, it's so much more than just sexual orientation, for example.
My goodness, this conversation can go two ways, right? Intersectionality and I think growth. But the whole time listening to you both, I'm smiling and nodding because I totally agree. Even my own, I came out, God knows, decades ago. And even then, even my own understanding of LGBTQ plus, or even using and actually embracing the term queer, right, has evolved. And I love it. I actually love the fact that I think, well, speaking for our little bubble here in New York City and maybe in certain parts of the US or the West, where, yeah, that acceptance, but queerness is beyond just biological sex or gender identity, that as human beings, we can be more than the binary of whatever the binary is, right? So, and I think that's wonderful. And I appreciate what you're saying about, yeah, intersectionality. We're not one thing. And that's one thing I've always sort of said. Like, I'm a Filipino American who just happens to be gay, right? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Carly, yeah.
No, I think that's totally spot on. And to kind of also bring it full circle, obviously, like we get this one body, we get this one life, and like what we're doing with that is running, and we're focusing on our wellness and like the mental health also aspects of community and taking care of yourself and exercise kind of all like blend together in this really great way of like also to the point of intersectionality. It's like if you think about like all the facets of like I'm a runner, I'm a woman, I'm queer, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. Like there's so many parts of our lives of like things that we do and people that we are, and kind of getting to join all of those things together, like it makes a lot of people feel very whole, and I think that's a really special thing.
Absolutely. So we all know it's a strange time. That's a polite way of saying it's really bleeped up, right? In our
Yeah.
country and the world. I couldn't say the word because I'm saying this is not, and there's no explicit language in this podcast. But seriously, though, I mean, yes, there's so much going on in the world, but particularly for the queer community, right? The reality is, running can be complicated, or just moving in public can be complicated for some queer and trans folks, particularly those that don't follow, how we're supposed to look, or that or look mainstream, however you want to say. So, because right now our bodies are politicized, surveilled, often unsafe. So, have you yourselves or any of your runners expressed ambivalence or concern? Because you are running as a pack. Maybe you don't have signs saying queer out here, but you don't deny it either. Has
Right.
there been concern or any like that?
We've definitely, I would say less concern. I guess concern is the right word. I would say like we've had people who have kind of raised flags about like we're a bunch of queer people sharing our location, broadcasting our location. Like, is that necessarily the safest thing? Do we want to be mindful of that? And it's like obviously it's this twofold thing of we need to tell people where we are because we want to make sure that people know this space exists for them, but then we don't know who's on the other side of the phone or the Instagram thing what that we post. And the same thing just kind of whenever we start our runs, we're always just like be mindful of pedestrians, kind of all of that. And I think I haven't personally like explicitly said like look out because the world is a crazy place, but like I think that's in the back of a lot of people's minds, and that's from what the conversations at least that I've had that does tend to come up of like everyone kind of has a head on a swivel, and I think sadly that's like their normal state. It's not just because we're running in a group. I think that's just how people ha tend to be, especially a part of the queer community. But yeah, I mean, Jesse, I'm not sure if you feel similarly.
Yeah, I think I agree, and I think like there have been a couple, I think, heightened moments in time where I know, like at the start of a run, Carly's done a great job of just like, hey, like obviously the next 45 minutes is for us, but like we're aware that there are, things greater than this happening in the world, and if you need to, if you want to talk to somebody about that, like we're here for that as well, and I think just like sort of trying to create like channels of communication and safe, I think, ways to support one another is, I guess, the sort of starting point of what we can try to do.
So you do talk about other things going on in the world. I say that because it can be fraught, right? Certain topics. So yes, we might all identify as queer, but doesn't mean we necessarily agree with certain things.
Totally. And I think having space for discussion and just discourse is another thing that I personally love. I think it's, I know that we all don't agree that pink is the best color. I think people like purple and I think people like blue. And like, that's obviously such a trite example, but I think that like, that's kind of to simplify the most, some of the most complex things. It's like, that's just how I like to think about it. It's like, that's okay. Like, people can think different things. And like, just because we all are queer doesn't mean we all think the same way. We all don't have the same background. And I think creating that openness of, for discourse is like a huge part of our goal. Is, and kind of when I think of the word inclusive, that's what I think of as well. So, and yeah, to your point though, it is very, it can get a little touchy and you're like, I'm going to address the elephant in the room, and the elephant is the like a massive worldwide issue or something that makes people feel a lot of ways.
I think that was well said, and I think too on the pink versus purple versus blue, I think what's, to kind of circle it back to queer feet is, I think people are able to find the other pinks in the room or the other blues and or learn about the perspectives of each. So I think, yeah, I think Carly said it well.
And that's I just find it interesting because you don't, from what I understand, you don't have any rules or regulations or community agreements like I have in my classroom, right? Because we talk about rather difficult subjects. So at the beginning of the class, we always talk about, okay, there are rules for just to make sure that we don't go totally off track, right?
Yeah, that reminds me of in our group chat or in our big group chat, we have, there's a section for rules, and the four rules are be kind to one another, be respectful of pedestrians on runs, stay sexy, and have fun. And I think obviously that doesn't encompass, right, like, all of the rules, but I think it's the right, hopefully right foundation, I think.
Carly,
Yeah,
you're
I think,
smiling.
yeah, I mean, the fact that it starts with be kind, I think, is like, it really encapsulates the ethos of queer feet. I think that's just what we strive to create in that space, is just like a open and kind space. And I think if you sometimes you can leave it at that and hope that people understand that what that means, and if that means something to one person versus another, then maybe they'll land on the same in the same place, type of thing.
Yeah, I think now more than ever, I think
Yeah.
that people just, well, however we define kindness, but it's a good start, right?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of staying sexy, because I do know you have Queer Feet Wednesdays and Sexy Saturdays. So tell us about those days and what does it involve? So clearly there are activities other than running during those days, some drinking perhaps, some.
I can start, and Carly, I'm sure will shed some light. But I think it's funny. I think when we landed on Saturday morning runs, and then it's Wednesday evenings, I think, me and Carly are both silly, and I think the energy that we wanted to bring is, again, and think embodied by how we sort of phrase our days. But yeah, so it's Saturday mornings, Saturday, sexy Saturday mornings, and then Wednesdays. And yeah, we have recently, partnered with Blazard Sports Bar in Williamsburg for a Wednesday evening. So it's a nice 5K to a women's sports bar, which is really fun for folks to be able to mingle post run. And then same thing on Saturdays, but we end up at a coffee shop to be able to talk more.
That's wonderful. Any other plans for other days?
As of right now, no, but I mean, the schedule is always flexible, and we're, I guess the goal is to stay sexy, so we gotta do that every day.
What's good about the sleigh is it works for most days of the week, right? So you can do two sleigh, you can do third
There you
sleigh.
go.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. That's a good one. So, okay. So when I was looking up, about your run club and all that, there's a Reddit post that actually asks, LGBTQ plus run clubs, they aren't clicky?
Yeah. That's an
Yes, they
interesting.
aren't, or are they
No, sorry. I
clicky?
think, and Erwin, you have like the academic kind of organizational kind of perspective on like groups and this whole podcast that you're cr like creating is focused on like a subset of that. But I think it's like naturally in groups, people just kind of do their thing, and I guess click up. But I would say that we haven't really heard much about that in terms of like feedback. I think one of the things that are like one of our focuses for this year is like having people who specifically are like, if you're new, like we want to chat with you. Like, not to like single you out, more to make sure that you know that like it's so much easier to get in our own heads than anyone else's. And so when I walk up to a big group, I'm like, oh gosh, like, what's going on here? It, like, what if everyone thinks I'm weird? What if da 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 da? Like, it's a quick spiral. And I think that's a normal human behavior. And already in a queer space, I think there's a lot of vulnerability there. And so we have people who kind of look out for everyone and make sure that, like, you are new this time. Well, you're not going to be new when you come back next time.
Right.
You'll have one run in, or two, or three, or however many. And then you also have a familiar face. So you can walk up to that person and say, hey, we chatted for 45 minutes on a run last week. How are you? Did you try that restaurant, or whatever it is? So, yeah.
Yeah, it starts with a commonality, right? The reality is we do organize according
Yeah.
to, but and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But I think for spaces like this, also being welcoming and just, hey, welcome, right? So I think that's great.
Yeah, I think my only last thought on that too is I think like click is the sort of vibe that is probably not ideal, but I think synonymously, like, people have kind of found a lot of their like new friend groups, which I think is the positive side of that. And I think on the former point, I think, like Carly mentioned, I think implementing, spaces for new runners and new members can help to hopefully, diminish any of that.
So have you either of you heard a story from one of your runners that really stayed with you? Maybe someone who joined and found something they didn't expect or totally surprised them?
You have one off the top of your head, Carly, or are you thinking?
I'm thinking.
I think there's a lot, but I think there's one member who started like pretty early on in the journey of Queer Feet, and I just remember like speaking with her at like a coffee shop after a run, and I think she was going through like a rougher time in life. I think she had, had some relationship changes, maybe a breakup, and I think she really was in a place where she had to kind of start from scratch. And I think from there, I think having joined Queer Feet, I think she's, stated verbatim that she's really found her people. And I think it's been cool to see her over the past year and a half, like, really solidify as best friends with some of these people. And I think for me, it's the, that's not the most precise example, but I think it's representative of how, like, the cycle of life works, which is sometimes we go through tough times, and there are always opportunities to meet people in groups and communities that you may have not thought existed before. And I think it's cool to think back to kind of the impact and effect that a little run group can have on somebody. I know, Carla, if you can think of what I'm talking about, but I'll tell you later.
Yeah, I feel like I have several instances similar to that, and I think what Jesse said kind of encapsulates the whole theme is just like a space where I'm just like trying to think if I have like any like really funny good examples too, but like so many people have said things that are so kind, and I think one of the things that just sticks with me is when like people just will walk up to like us at a run or and like thank us, and I'm like, we're all a part of this space. Like, we wouldn't be this space without the people who show up. And I think I'm so grateful that it's something that blossomed from our friendship. But at the same time, like, it is just because, like, we all want to be around other queer people who have, like, an interest in that, in running in openness and kind of being kind to one another. There's obviously so much more to it than that, but I think whenever anyone's like, oh, thank you so much for creating this space, I'm just like, this is all for all of us. And like, I sometimes have to even thank myself for it because of how much I've benefited from it, and Jesse too.
Totally. And it's always wild when somebody is just like, I just saw you guys on TikTok one time and now here I am meeting you guys for a run. And I think it's always just really cool when that happens.
And some people have found like their partners from Queer Feet, which has been fascinating, to say the least.
Any
Maybe
commitment ceremonies, any weddings, like in a
the
future?
future. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. But this is all inspiring. Has this experience of forming a group inspired you individually or together to do something more, whether not just for the queer community, just to do more, to make this a better world?
I think I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you go for it. The wheels are still turning.
Yeah, I think personally, because of Queer Feet, I find that I am a lot more open in like other aspects of my life, and I think that it's given me the opportunity to explore other avenues of my life and my identity, and like giving and whatever that looks like in terms of giving back. I think what for me, when I think of giving back, I think of also just like contributing in my community. And whether that's in my workplace and or just around friends or just even around this amazing city, I find that it's kind of opened my eyes to a lot of the differences that we all have, and like also just being mindful that like just because we're different doesn't mean that like it's a bad thing. Like it's we're all different, and like we should embrace each other for that. And I think that's been part of my journey to giving back for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think too, something that I think of is like, I think the increase in how I view myself as like my bravery, I think, in other aspects of my life. I think Carly mentions like the workplace, and I think that's a big one for me. I think being able to feel more empowered to show up as my authentic self, in a place like the workplace, because I think, I think of, hey, at the end of the day, if anything, I have 800 queer runners behind me, and it genuinely feels like, you have an army behind you, and I think that really like propels me to take that energy and bring it to other parts of my life. And I'm sure hopefully I'll be able to see that impact other places outside of the workplace, whether it's just like, in other settings or whatnot. But I think that that is something that I take away from it.
Well, Jesse, there's some mighty army behind all of us, hopefully listening to
Exactly.
this. And I think
Yeah.
that was one of the hope of this podcast, is just to remind ourselves that we're out there and we're here for each other. So as I come to a close here, how does it feel as queer people living now in the US and in this world?
That's
I
a
think
loaded
it's,
question.
yeah, I think it's mixed, and I think we'd have to do another episode to get into this one. But I think for me, my initial, as you were actually asking the question, I think my first thought in my head was like, I freaking love it. Like, I feel like that I get to, all things considered, get to, I think be myself. And I think I've also found a lot of people who support me in that. I think towards the second half, I think about just the amount of work I think that still needs to be done. And I think that I can, only hope that Queer Feet is a start of is a, the start and foundation for that. And I think being able to be around different people in the community and be inspired in different ways, Hopefully myself and others can bring that to other parts of the world.
Yeah, and like I said, very, it's just, for me, it's all comes with so much like love and joy, and I'm so grateful for this, like for my identity and for to feel this comfortable in my identity. But I know that's not the case for so many people, and obviously with what's going on in the world, it's like relishing in that while also acknowledging the hardships that so many people are going through all over everywhere is like a constant battle. And I think that part of my queer identity is also just kind of looking out for other people and like being and hoping to create space and like keep space for other people and just listen. And so with all that, I think it's just an ebb and flow of like a lot of different emotions. And I think that I'm just immensely grateful to have a space to share with like-minded individuals and that allow me to be me. And I hope that other people can also find that space for themselves.
I think we can all agree it's wonderful being queer, isn't
Yeah. The best.
it? That's what I think.
Well, I usually end by asking my guests, what would you tell, and you are younger, what would you tell younger queer folks, or even maybe, teenagers or young ones who are just starting to figure things out, as you yourselves recently, right? Sounds like you're just recently figuring things out.
Yeah, I think I would just say like believe in yourself and it's gonna be okay.
I think, and I might not articulate this well off first go, but I think that for me, it's like there is at least, I think more than one, but I think there is at least like one person out there that you will find that you can share common ground with. I think over time you learn that that's actually more than just one, but I think even during times where you might feel alone or that no one understands or that you might be going through something that is very individual to yourself, which it always is. I think all of our experiences are unique. But what's great about the number of people that we have in the world is that have trust that I think somebody else has had a shared experience as you. And I think that's a really good way to feel less alone, I think.
And now there are many ways to find community, whether it's online or in running spaces like Queer Feet and all that. So, Carly and Jesse, thank you for creating a space where queerness gets to move, breathe, and take up room together. For listeners, if you've ever felt like fitness spaces weren't built for you, Queer Feet Run Club NYC is proof that we can build something different, something rooted in care, joy, and community. You can learn more about Queer Feet by following them on Instagram at Queer Feet NYC and TikTok queer.feet. Until next time, I'm Erwin DeLeon, and this is Living Queer. Be strong and true, and always choose light and joy.